This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 36, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and a cast of several.
Yes, hi, hello.
Hi, hello.
This is the fourth of four flunk extravaganzas, cluster flunk, whatever the hell we're calling these things. Really, this is just us telling you, hey, we're still here. We haven't gone away.
We haven't abandoned you.
Because like a puppy, if we leave the room, we think you just think we've gone forever. That's
a puppy or a baby.
Right. That's how highly we think of you, the audience. I figured it would be a professional thing to do a little intro here for you. We only have a few segments remaining. Somehow, phenomenally, we made it through all the questions.
Didn't kill ourselves or each other.
Right. And, after the questions, because I didn't want to just give you like a 15-minute podcast, because, you know, who just talks for 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Not us. At the end here, after that, we will be back with you to polish off what's left of a few flunk questions, a lot of not flunk questions, some of us getting weepy, which I'm sure you're looking forward to, and an appearance by a certain clown. So look forward to that.
If you're wondering what we get weepy over.
Well, you know, all will be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that trick from noted joke thief Brian Michael Bendis, incidentally. All right,
and
so
remember, listen to this podcast again once knowing what you know about Wanda. Now that's an old one.
Yeah, an oldie but a goodie. All right, so
I don't know if I go that far.
Well, okay, a goodie,
but it is old.
All right, here's some questions. All right, our next guest is the most famous person I know and the person I talk about the most, and I'm sure you're all sick of hearing about it, but I don't care because. You know, he likes it, and I'm all about making him happy. Mark, welcome back.
I'm pretty sick of it myself, actually.
Well, you know, I live to, you know, to toady to you. That's that is my role.
Those of you playing the Sarcastic Voyage drinking game at home, you can just start drinking now.
I was going to say, does this count as a mention of my famous friend Mark Darin? Yeah,
basically, you just have to keep taking drinks until the segment's over.
Oh, you have a game based on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
man, I've been missing out.
Well, we have little verbal crutches, certain things that we do quite a lot, and that's certainly one of mine, is mentioning you every chance that I get.
I apologize. I apologize.
Well.
Listen, it's not your fault.
No, it's me. It's me trying to latch on to any semblance of fame and success that I possibly can.
Fair enough. I'd do the same thing.
I know you would.
Just starting random conversation. Hey, you know who I know?
No. Who's that?
And they still don't know.
No, not really. And that's why I have to keep reminding them. Okay, so as I briefly explained to you, we got a million questions from this guy, Flonk, who just will not leave us alone. He loves writing us questions. He lives to ask us things. And so we need your help with one of these questions, if you would not mind.
Just one?
Well, it's supposed to be one, but it's actually a bunch. This is a format of question that he's given to us in the past, where it's a series of who would win in a fight between, and there's actually like 1, 2, 3, 4. There's like 5 of these.
Oh, goodness.
So, but it's really just a binary yes or no, pick one guy. And then in addition, I have a bonus question just for you, but we'll get to that after this.
All right.
So this is actually Star Trek themed, which is appropriate because awesome. I've been watching that new movie relentlessly. And I know, you know, you some Star Trek. So,
how is the DVD?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's, the deleted scenes are really worth it. I was just telling Matt, actually. I was watching the blooper reel, which I usually hate. Like, I really don't care if the actors are laughing because they blew their lines. But there's one bit where Spock, new Spock, blows his line. And, you know, he's like, this is illogical. Fuck! And but the guy who plays Bones stays in character. And he grabs him by the shoulder and he's like, damn it, man! What's wrong with you? It's really funny.
Hopefully you'll be picking that up relatively soon. I'll get to check all the fun extra stuff out.
Yeah, it's really worth it.
That's what I'm mostly looking forward to.
Yeah, there's, like I said, there's like 15 minutes of deleted scenes, and they're all gold. Like, it's all good stuff. It's not like, oh, well, you can see why they cut this. It's mostly just for time. And they actually justify the lens flares. There's actually a good 2 minutes spent explaining why they like lens flares and why they're there. So
I think that's certainly needed.
Shiny.
What's that, Matt?
In the future, everything's just so shiny.
Well, the reason that they give is they want it to look more realistic, like it was shot by a real camera and not like they were cleaning up the lighting. I don't know that I agree with that, but that at least
they might have gone a little too far.
Well, there's a point where Kirk's running around in the dark cave, and there's a lens flare. I'm like, what, really? Anyway, let's do this thing. Let's do this question thing. And he says, "Dear Al, Matt," and of course he leaves you out because he's a jerk.
Awesome.
Who would win in a fight between Kirk and Riker? We'll just do these one at a time.
Ooh. Oh, one at a time?
Yeah, I mean. I'll ask each of these questions, and you can we'll go through them that way. I think that's easy.
All right, fair enough. First one, Kirk.
Yeah, I got to go with Kirk.
Yeah, as much as I like Riker, and I've patterned my facial hair after him, I don't think he's actually very good in a fight.
Kirk's mastered the art of where you stand up, sort of kick the guy, and fall over. That's a that's a masterful fighting move in the whatever century.
He's got that karate chop too.
Yeah, exactly. And like the two-fisted punch, which I think we talked about before.
I gotta say, Riker does use the same karate chop. I think he learned it from watching old videos, but still.
I learned it from watching you, Kirk.
Throw up his hands and say, wait a minute, and Kirk would punch him while he's doing that.
Tasha and Kira. So I guess Tasha Yar and Kira from Deep Space Nine. I'm going to field this one first. Tasha died like 6 episodes in from a fucking trash bag, so no contest there. And Kira was a fucking terrorist.
Yeah.
I will agree with that.
Yeah. Kira was awesome.
Well, yeah. But I mean,
Tasha's dead.
Tasha may have had the chance to be awesome if she'd lived long enough for the writing to get good, but you know, too bad for her.
I'm sorry, being around in the first season just does not make you awesome.
No. Yeah. Not even the full first season. She had to go make Pet Sematary. What the hell was that?
That was a goat.
Oh.
Did someone just squash a Goomba?
Yeah. It sounded like someone hit a POW block, actually. Like, boom, boom. Spot, you know, Data's cat Spot, and a Tribble.
I would say Spot.
Yeah. I'll agree with that, Matt.
Oh, man. Well, a Tribble, sure, I could see that.
Well, yeah, not many Tribbles, just one. Spot actually had the ability, and your more hardcore nerds will point this out, to change sex.
Spot, and become different cats.
Yeah, Spot was male in the earlier seasons, and then suddenly Spot gave birth to kittens. So clearly Spot has some ridiculous powers that just cannot be fathomed by human beings. So
I prefer the theory that Worf kept killing it and buying Data new cats, and Data just didn't notice.
That could be.
I've seen Spot attack the little cat toys, so I know he's got some offensive maneuvers. I've never seen a Tribble go on the offensive. They just kind of sit there and
coo.
Do a thing.
Right.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Let's see, Garak, who was the sort of the super spy guy in Deep Space Nine, the mysterious, the tailor, and a Pakled, which I think was the dumb aliens that Geordi Garak helped out. He's getting a little obscure here.
Garak?
Yeah.
Garak was fucking awesome.
Oh, he says that the fight takes place in a very narrow hallway, not a Jeffrey's tube. So I think what he's saying is because he had claustrophobia. He's getting way too inside here. This is... I love
the ladder.
Really? The Pakled, those were the kind of the retard aliens that, Geordi, you make our ship go.
Yeah, but they had retard strength.
Did they?
Probably. I hope so.
All right.
It's not like they had anything else going for them.
They had that one single appearance where they were just too stupid to fix their own ship, and they kidnapped Geordi so he could fix it, and that's all I remember.
I'm not basing my answer on anything. I just got tired of the insideness and just decided to pick one.
That's fair. It's kind of the SAT thing. You picked A enough, and now it's time to pick B. That's understandable. Beeping Captain Pike and a bowl of pudding. That's more like the kind of questions we like.
Theoretically, Captain Pike could run over the pudding.
Yeah, but if it's spatial anomaly pudding, then no chance.
Mm.
And Mark knows full well the dangers of spatial anomaly pudding. That's you don't mess with that stuff.
Absolutely not. Pudding, completely.
Yes. It's the pudding, Will! God damn it, we've got to get the pudding! Nobody's going to get that. Mark probably doesn't even remember that. Okay, that's one more question down. Good for us. Mark, we have another question here, actually, that our mutual friend Beef wrote to us quite some time ago, and I've been sitting on this because you particularly, I think, would be able to help us answer this more than I think anybody else. And he says, hi, Al, Matt, and guest, because he's a nice guy, and he actually acknowledges that we have guests.
Hi, Beef.
Matt, does the bookstore you work at have a separate section for urine-soaked books? If so, are they further broken down? If I wanted a good collection of sci-fi short stories that also reeked of urine, and I asked you for some urine-soaked dick, for instance, would you direct me to the urine-soaked sci-fi section, or just sci-fi, or perhaps urine-soaked, or do you have a section made up entirely of dick to allow for easier joke setups? My question for the guest is, do you prefer to buy your books urine-soaked, or would you rather soak them in urine yourself? Thanks, guys. Keep fucking that Pikachu, Rob. Now, you guys discussed the topic very similar to this at some length when we all hooked up at the PAX a few months ago.
That is true.
So I know you guys know your urine-soaked books far better than I do. So I think between the two of you, you can field this far better than I ever would.
Well, to simply answer the question, I don't soak my books in my own urine. I buy them soaked, pre-soaked in urine.
Well, it's just much easier that way.
Is there a special kind of urine that's better than others, or just any kind of urine will do? Or
probably. I don't really know the different types of urine. I just go and say, you have any urine-soaked books, and they give me what they have, and I'm happy.
Oh. Whereas Matt sounds like more of a urine snob. You were saying what the hot stuff.
I want a vintage urine.
Right.
Yeah. See, I don't care about all that.
If you can get it, the urine of a famous person is always a big seller.
Really.
Or if you can get it soaked in the urine of the book's writer, like say for example, urine soaked dick is incredibly valuable because, as we all know, Dick didn't urinate on a whole lot of his own books. He mostly urinated on the books of others.
I got you.
Also, he took a lot of drugs.
I disagree. It's not at all about who urinated on the book. It's just about the book being soaked in urine. That's it. No. That's what you're going for. It doesn't matter. You're not making a collector urine edition. You just want a book soaked in urine. That's what you want. That's what you're paying for.
See, and that's fine for someone like you who just wants the book soaked in urine. That's fine. But the urine-soaked book collector's market is getting so popular these days. Everyone wants books soaked in urine, in the urine of famous people or their pets or people that they knew. You can get
a quick urine soaked fad, and it'll die off relatively soon, and then everybody will be stuck with these worthless urine soaked books that they paid way too much for.
Well, I mean, that's what happened to the cat shit market. Yes, but exactly. There's no evidence that'll happen again.
Now,
glaring evidence.
What was that, Mark?
I've got all this cat shit, and I don't need it.
Yeah, I mean, you put that stuff on eBay, and really, unless you got something really special, like a complete lot, or like a full set, just nobody cares. I mean, it's just a bunch of cat shit to people, and they forget that there was inherent value in this stuff some time ago, and now it's just this dried, flaky, white stuff. But you guys, when you guys first met, you had similar to this discussion about the big chain urine bookstores and the sort of privately owned urine soaked bookstores. Has this changed in the months since you guys discussed this, or is this still an issue?
Well, at my independently owned store, we soak our own books in urine. I don't know what the big chain stores do anymore. I assume they soak them at the factory.
I see. I don't know myself. I generally don't buy from the big urine-soaked chains.
Gotcha. And we appreciate that.
I just like the mom-and-pop urine-soaked books. That's really
and mom-and-pop's urine.
Right. All right, well, Mark, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your expertise.
My urine?
Yeah, well, not so much that.
I appreciate your urine.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate yours.
I also appreciate your game making skills, and one of these days I'm actually going to play the games that you made. I do feel bad about that.
Should, dude. They're quite good, you know.
Oh, I know. I feel like a jerk, and I wanted to say publicly I haven't even finished Monkey Island Episode 2 yet, and I apologize. So,
well, I recommend that you do play through them, or I will give you urine-soaked copies.
All right, Matt, I got to stop recording. I got some Wii playing to do here, so...
Make your current books into urine-soaked editions.
Mark, one final thing. This is kind of our last show of the year. We're giving all the guests the opportunity, like a quick little soapbox. If you have anything you want to say to us or the audience, anything you want to plug, anything at all?
I'll leave you with a passage from a random page in the complete Monty Python's Flying Circus, All the Words.
Okay, fantastic.
If he opens his big mouth again, it's lampshade time.
Ooh, from Mr. Hilter. Very nice.
All right.
All right, Mark, thanks for your time. Take care.
I'll see you, Mark.
All right, our next guest is Mr. Tony Palermo. Tony, thanks for coming back with us here briefly.
Yes, briefly. Yes. Yes. No, my pleasure. It was fun the last time.
Yeah, absolutely. We have, as we briefly mentioned, and I'm saying the word briefly a lot for no apparent reason. I got underwear on the mind.
It's your new catchphrase, but yeah. It's not very good.
No, we've been tossing briefly. Catchphrases around, and yeah,
it's better. It sure beats bloomerly, right?
Well, oh, yeah. I don't know about that actually. Anyway,
like to brief for a brief second.
What we briefed you before of yeah,
Snickerly.
getting close to it. Yeah, it really does. After your last appearance, you might want to back off of that a little bit.
Man. Oh, one last mention of Sambo's, and there we go.
So as we mentioned, we have these questions from that guy. And
that guy. Yeah. Not that other guy.
No, not that guy. Oh, God, no. No.
Here, let me fetch my Castro hat. Hang on.
No, this is another Beardo, but this would be Flonk. And he asks, where have all the cowboys gone? Apparently he's texting from karaoke night again, I'm guessing. So
that's right. So
not a particularly strong question there.
Signed Paula Cole on us, as she wondered.
Yeah, you're the,
you know,
you're...
the monkeys went. They live under our arms. Oh boy.
What? Was that another thing?
What's that?
Are you doing it again?
What's that, monkeys?
I
don't know. Are you doing monkeys?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm so anyway, confused.
So where have the cowboys gone?
Yes.
Boy, I don't know. That's really Paula Cole. Let's see. I I'm stuck on the fact that it's Paula Cole.
See, I don't even know who that is, and I know you have more musical expertise than either of us. So that's a good pull for you. But
we could say they're buried beneath John Wayne's libido.
Yeah, I'll allow that.
Where is John Wayne's libido currently located? Like, what's the present location?
That's a really good question for a man whose real name is Leslie. boy, where would you hide that?
Was it really?
I thought I read they put it in the basement of the Alamo.
Oh wait, maybe it wasn't Leslie. Maybe it was Marion.
It was Marion. Ah. Yeah.
I was going to say former President Gerald Ford's real name was Leslie. That's true. That's not a goof. That's totally true. His given name was Leslie King. And thank.
Well, no wonder he went dick on us, right?
Well, thankfully he changed it, because otherwise he would have ended up being President King, and you know.
Well, that would have been fine. Come on, he opened China to us, and look where that got us. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Political commentary.
Oh boy. So the Cowboys, yeah. I'm at least impressed that you didn't go sports with it, because you would have lost us on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Dallas, fuck them.
Well, see, now that I can get behind sports or otherwise, because, you know, Texas, fuck Texas.
Well, and I can say that sort of thing right there, because Blandy's a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, so.
Yeah, but what's he going to do?
That one out on Sunday.
What's he going to do? He's halfway around the world now.
That's right. In fact, the code phrase is that the ham is back in the oven. As he texted on his way flying out, and then I posted that. I posted this, and then people started to wonder if in fact there was going to be a little tip in 9 months. Because of course that sounds exactly like something I would say.
Oh,
if,
sure.
In fact, I had a little broodling coming along. So yeah, I'm going to prep my tinned ham key, and we'll see how that works out the next year.
Well, you do love your pork metaphors. You are a man who does enjoy comparing his life to various forms of pork.
I mean, I was kind of hoping for a Thanksgiving ham, but it looks like we're going turkey. I did suggest trying to if we could stuff the turkey with ham, but
your porkin.
Then we ended up just
your porkin.
Porkin, right? Or porky,
right?
Oh, that works. Porky, right? No. Sad to say, there was only a just a breast purchased this year since.
I see.
Yeah. No, actually, I'm looking forward to it. So.
Well, good. By the time this airs, of course, I believe this show will be actually airing like on Christmas Day. So.
Well, then perhaps I'll have my Christmas ham by then, and that'll be just fine.
You know, where I come from in Southern Maryland, which I don't often like to admit, they actually stuff ham. And I lived there for 25 years, and I still cannot wrap my head around the fact that they take a solid block of meat and somehow manage to stuff things inside it.
Do they hollow it out like a,
yeah,
like one of those little, like those little safe books, or those little, you know, those carved out books where you're gone if you were going to take out Colonel Mustard?
Do they make like a ham pocket?
No, what they do is they cut little slits
like
in it.
They fruit?
No, they cut little slits in it, and they put like kale and cabbage and stuff like in these like these little folds that they create. It's bizarre.
That's so weird.
Don't make my ham vegetarian.
Shit. Well, I think it's repulsive, and that's just one of the many reasons that I was pleased to flee from that area of the country. But
the only place in the world that does that.
Yeah.
No, you guys can totally help me out, since I have a total mental block on a particular holiday food item.
Okay. We'll do what we can.
Okay. Yeah, what are those bricks of like bread with the little fruit nuggets in it called?
Oh, fruit cake?
Fruitcake. Thank you. I've been saying Yule log for the last 7 days.
Yeah, but log is so much funnier.
Well, no, it sounds like something I'm going to make after this fucking burrito works its way through.
I don't know that that'll be especially festive, but...
No, and there probably won't be chunks of fruit in it, I hope.
But... Maybe if you garnish it.
Well, how do you know I didn't swallow a whole can of like Dole mixed fruit, you know, before I had the burrito?
Well, because I know you.
Yeah, good call, actually. There has been no fruit consumption today, that's right.
That's just a guess. I mean, I've known you long enough to know that probably, you know, if it ain't pork, it's probably not going in your head. But that's just a guess. I mean, I could be wrong about that.
If it's not pork, it ain't going in my head.
Right.
That's going on the back of the car.
Nice. Well, Tip, I do appreciate your time. We, as this is sort of the last show of the year, we're offering everyone an opportunity. If there's anything you want to say to us or to the audience or whatever, kind of give you a general soapbox.
Actually, just keep up the good work. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope to hear more of this. And I gladly join in again too if you have the opportunity arises.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll definitely be coming back if you're willing.
Hey, actually, since my vanity has to ask, I mean, any good feedback?
Oh, lots. Usually when we post the show, the day of the show, on the Twitter there, where all the kids are.
That's where the crazy kids are, yeah. As soon as I upgrade my phone, I'll probably jump in on that.
That would be fantastic, awesome. Yeah. The best thing is when on Tuesday and Friday mornings when we post the show, and I just watch people who listen to it on their commute or at work or whatever, just kind of a steady stream of comments, and... Yeah, a lot of great feedback. Yeah, and Matt sleeps, because, you know, why would you want that?
Because there was a little bit of feedback on that board, which is kind of nice to actually say, have people like Pat, you know, pop in, and
sure.
Dustin was going to listen. Yeah, he was like, oh, the Saint did. He actually just, Stephen posted just, what was it? Oh, Postcard Tycoon. And I was sitting there reading this thing and looking at it for a while. I went, oh, right, that was us.
Yeah, people often mention things that we did, and Matt actually is the one to remember the crap that we did, because I don't, I mean, we've done, this is now show 36, they're at least an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, I don't fucking know what we said or did.
It's a big blur of, you know, verbal nonsense going out to the kids out there. There you go, guys.
Yeah, basically. So anyway, Tip, thanks for your time, we'll definitely be talking to you again, and take care, man.
Yep, you too. Both of you take care and have a good holiday. Yeah.
You too, see ya. Okay, our next guest is a voice you're hearing for the first time, a friend of ours from the message board of which we do not speak, Mr. Pat McDonald. Pat, thanks for being on.
No problem. Hello.
Hey, so we mentioned this in our quick little pre-show thing there. We have all these questions from Kevin Lynch, a.k.a. Flonk.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get through them, got to answer them, got to get rid of them. Are you acquainted with Flonk? Do you you know him, right? I mean, we travel in the same circles.
Yeah. I've run into him. I've had encounters, Flonk encounters.
Yeah, those are always unpleasant. I think. Third time.
Indeed.
Yeah, he's quite a character, that guy.
That's one word for it, sure.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get to this. he says, and this time he didn't even say Al, Matt, guest. Like, he sometimes he leaves off the guest, but this time he just goes right into the question, which I guess is better. I don't know.
Less long, the better.
This is number 40 or so. At this point, it's just like, are we still doing this? Like, I'm glad to talk to you. I'm glad to talk to you. I'm glad to talk to the guests we haven't talked to yet, but really,
this is a poor excuse to do so.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Next year, we got to come up with something better. He says, do four-legged animals have taints? On humans, the taint is directly between the legs, but on cats and alligators and moo cows, their chest and stomach is between the legs.
Yes, they do. My dog has a taint. Both my dogs have taints.
Yeah. They're not very big.
No, no. But so if you have a female who's not fixed, it gets rather inflamed during the menstruation cycle.
This is true.
Really?
Disgusting. Disgusting. Dogs have periods.
You guys know a lot more about bitches than I do, I gotta say.
I got like two female cats.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they have inflamed taints, huh?
No, our cats have been fixed for many, many years.
Okay.
Yeah, my poodle is underweight and can't be fixed, so we have to put the diaper pads on her every 4 months. It's disgusting.
That sounds bad for you and bad for the dog and just bad all around. So
yeah, have you ever changed a dog's menstrual pad? It's
if you'd like to learn more about poodle tampons, consult the internet.
Man, if this were a full show, the title would totally be Poodle Tampon.
But they're called fancy pants.
Of course they are. Oh god.
It's kind of a denim cloth diaper with a pad that you stick on a Velcro ass.
Wow.
Not nearly as fancy as advertised.
No. We're learning so much from these short sequences. We learned about urine-soaked books. We learned about the apple jacket, and now we're learning about the menstrual habits of poodles. This is just educational all around.
You could be on Discovery.
So Pat, this is as we've alluded to, the last show of the year, sort of our big sort of season finale, if you will. We're giving people the opportunity to like a soapbox. Anything you want to say to us or to the audience? Anything you want to plug? Now's your chance. You have an open forum.
I will segue. Can I segue?
Absolutely.
You certainly could do it better than I can.
I was plugging my girlfriend one night, probably a year or two ago, and the text messages have since stopped. But back then, Flonk was sending out text messages every 2 to 3 fucking days, and you never knew when they were going to come, whether it was 7:30 in the morning or 3:30 at night. And so
now, was it ever anything that was worth stopping your activity to like I'm on fire, or hey, I'm coming to your house, or
fancy pants.
Yeah, how's the fancy pants? Something, you know, anything that was really worth like unmounting and checking out your phone?
Not at all. No.
What's a typical Flonk text message?
A typical Flonk text message involves food of some sort, and a joke that's just not funny, kind of like a Nick T joke.
Well, we threw
some food in there.
We've had Nick on the show, and actually, I to his credit, his segment was actually quite entertaining. He basically spent this period that we gave him as an open forum to yell at me.
I can understand that.
And he said something to the effect of, "I asked you a question, Matt answered it correctly, and yours was rubbish."
My name is Michael Caine.
I'm supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
You know, you sound Australian when you do that. I hate to say, Matt, but...
You
got to work on your Michael Caine.
I guess.
But this is something... I mean, you do good voices. I've heard you in real life. You do some really good voices, and somehow they just don't make it onto the show.
I don't know what to tell you. I do know that it's an excuse to see Jaws the Revenge again, though.
Fair enough.
Any excuse to see that again.
Exactly.
Now, Pat, there is a question I do have for you, and I knew this ahead of time, but speaking of voices...
Yes.
Your handle on the message board is the Irish Geek.
Yeah.
What the hell, man? I can't think of anyone who sounds more American. You're like, hello there. Yes, I'm a friend of Xander's here. I mean,
I'm a famous actor.
Like, where's your fucking Irish accent?
Well, yeah, we emigrated right as I was hitting puberty. And went into the American school system.
And the Irish accent is like your mutant power. It doesn't activate until puberty. Is that it?
The thing was I was a hit with the ladies up until age maybe 14, but I didn't know how to work my penis at that point. So the accent gave me no credence at all. And then as soon as I entered high school, it had just kind of faded to if I was drunk or if I was trying to get laid, I would force it. And I'm 25 now. We've been in the States about 15 years, and it's just it's gone, man.
So, but you actually are like an Irish national. Like you're here from Ireland.
Wow.
I'm still on a green card. I renewed it a couple of years ago. Huh. But I get people accusing me of being quote fake Irish all the fucking time. And I gotta pull my green card out of my wallet and say, nope, see, country, Ireland.
Wow.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I can go back to the EU, man, and work wherever I want. But Ireland's in kind of a shambles right now, so I'm in no mood to do that.
Right. I've heard that. Even Irish Gav has fled to England. So
don't blame him.
And, of course, he brought Mr. Smlown with him. Cause,
unfortunately.
I think he tried to leave him behind, and he followed.
No, he was there when Irish Gav got there.
You left me behind.
Leaving so soon.
All right, Pat. Well, we appreciate your time. Good talking
much,
to guys. You. Definitely have to do this again sometime. Take care, man.
Yes, you
too, guys. Take it easy.
All right, we're down to the very last question, if you can believe it. And our very last guest, voice you've heard before, Mr. Chris Page. Chris, welcome back.
Hey. Oh, finally.
Yeah, we've tried to make this happen before, and I don't know, you had a car accident or fire.
Some friggin' excuse, I don't know.
Cyborgs came back in time and killed your mother, I don't fucking know.
It was so, Raptors. Raptors got it. Just tore everything up, it was a mess.
Yeah.
We opened all the doors.
We're recording this, actually, as we celebrate Matt's birthday in his basement, and the paparazzi are sort of swarming on us, so if you hear the...
You guys want to say anything now?
No, of course not. Now that the spotlight's on, they're all silent.
Flash That's how paparazzi work.
So I don't need to go into this. You know what the deal is. We got these fucking questions, and
yes,
we need some help here. So that said, here we go. He writes, "Dear Sal, Ted, and the Living Wonder." Are we going to decide who's who in here? I'd kind of like to claim Sal. If I
want to be the Living Wonder so badly.
All
right, well, I could be Ted. Ted's fine.
Why do you keep doing it? Is it for the money, the women, or just because somebody has to? Keep fighting the good fight, Flonk. Yeah, I don't have any idea what the hell he's getting at here.
I want to know what it is.
Clearly it's for the women.
Well...
Maybe. Cue some Faith No More in there. Would that work? I
mean, it's it. It's
definitely not for that.
It's it, Chris. That's what it is.
What is it?
That poor fish. poor fish. God, I don't know. I'm going to assume he means...
the podcast?
Yeah, all right.
Sure, fine.
Yes, I'm going to go with...
I keep doing it because you asked me and then harassed me about it. So, you know, that's why I do it. I don't know.
Well... It's for our many fans that we have that exist.
Your legion of fans?
That I'm not making up at all.
Nope.
No, I'm going to say it's for the money, because this is a highly lucrative business that we're in here.
Well, look, I got a woman out of this. Have you gotten any money out of this? No.
No, in fact, I'm in the hole about $200, and while I'm here... by the way...
Let me just get out some Canadian money to pay you.
Can you just pay me in comics like you usually do?
Be paid in toonies.
Bane of my fucking existence, let me
Here's
tell you.
Here's one now.
Oh, Christ. So, Chris, I don't know. We've given everyone else the opportunity to say something here. Anything you'd like to say? Anything you'd like to plug or do or correct? Or I don't know.
Do you want to sing us a song?
Actually, no. I would like to correct the fact that I am not an alcoholic. I'm a drunk. Alcoholics go to meetings. I've never been to a meeting in my life.
How do you feel about wino?
Wino's okay. That I don't drink a lot of wine, though, so I think that would, you know, that
maybe
might separate.
Hero?
Maybe like a Gino?
Yeah, yeah. You know,
and there's I can see Amanda, like biting her tongue right now, trying desperately not to laugh at that.
Amanda, gin.
Yeah, she's losing it.
Yeah? God, does she have a hat?
Noted Gino, Chris Page.
That works.
And now
also,
we're getting plenty of
before
pictures.
We go, I should happy birthday to Matt, because that's, you know...
I'm sorry, just one sec, Chris. There's a bit of hysteria here. We'll...
Oh, my.
You've destroyed her.
You've ruined the act, Joe.
I'll spit out my beer.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. I do want to say happy birthday, Max. I was not aware it was your birthday.
Oh, thanks. Technically, it was the 7th, but thank you.
Yes, December 7th, which is a date where nothing else happened, obviously.
At all.
Not the slightest.
Except for Matt's birth.
No infamy there.
No, we're all here. We all chipped in to get him Beatles Rock Band, so we will be enjoying the sound of Matt singing for the next good little while. So, Chris, help me.
Please help me. I'm far away. Are you going to be singing Help Me?
We will be.
Help, I need somebody. All right, Chris, well, I appreciate your time.
No problem.
Definitely look forward to having you back on for another full segment, and take care,
absolutely,
man.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Okay, so we're still here celebrating Matt's birthday here.
In Matt's basement.
Yes. And it occurred to us, actually, we were told by a former guest, Irene, the vampirologist, that she did not get the opportunity we've given all the previous clip show participants to say whatever she wants to say to the open forum that everyone else got. So you know what? Here you go.
Ball's in your court.
Got something to say?
Huh?
And she's just staring at me now.
I'm an angel.
All right. Good.
Thanks. Thanks for that,
folks.
And Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes. 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 That's
Hi.
Yes. I'm not even going to say the other one because I don't know why. if you're hearing this the way I planned it is now Christmas Day or somewhere around there. This is our last show of the year.
So, Merry Christmas, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. But more to the point, this is it. This is the last one for 2009, and we're taking a week off after this, and then we will basically be making every podcast ever for the rest of eternity.
So, you know, look forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. But it being the end of the year, and because we didn't have enough of these, somehow impossibly we didn't have enough flunk questions to fill out a fourth hour and a half show. We could only give you about 4.5 hours of flonk instead of 6. We were going to round it out with sort of emptying out the mailbox and answering what we got left here from other people. Actually, give other people a chance to ask us questions.
Because we're sick of flonk.
Well, who isn't, really? So
if you're sick of flonk, too, write us in. write to us.
Well, I think if you were to put up a map of the world and put pins in all the places that we've called and gotten people to hate Flonk, you would have a map full of lots of pins. I mean, Blandy is now on his way back to Iraq, spreading the hatred there. Of course, Ashwin in India, Pablo in the Dominican Republic, and Juan in Panama. I mean, and our friends in the UK. We just all over the place, all over the world.
Flonk is spreading across the globe like the plague in The Stand.
It's spreading like The Stand?
Well, no, it's spreading like the plague in The Stand.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. I haven't read The Stand, so I don't know.
No, you should.
No, not much of a reader.
I don't want to listen to a 1,000-plus-page book.
Oh, right. Is there an audio thing? Is it read by somebody good?
Probably, or... yeah. Sure.
I know, Stephen King stuff always tends to be like when I wanted to see It, and it's like starring John Ritter. Like, really?
Yeah, don't see it. You should read
Harry
it.
Anderson. Oh, yeah. I read that when I was like a kid.
Dave Barry.
Right. It's not Dave Barry, damn it.
I'm sorry, but Harry Anderson is either Dave Barry or Harry, whatever his last name was on Night Court.
He's the judge from Night Court, I'll give you that. Yeah. But nobody remembers that Dave Barry show. Nobody liked
that Dave
Barry
show.
Was it any good?
I don't, probably not.
All right, then. And I have a respect and an admiration for Dave Barry, but not pretend Dave Barry, real Dave Barry.
Not Harry Anderson pretending to be Dave Barry.
No. The actual humorist, Dave Barry, who I will give full credit, inspired me to want to write funny stuff, but not
inspired me to write band names.
A joke that you make to this day. All right, so we do have quite a bit of mail. Let's get to this, won't we?
All right.
Okay, our first letter comes from Thwip, a.k.a. Antonio. And he writes, hey, Al, Matt, and guest. Well, actually, this time we don't have a guest, but thank you for at least, you know, acknowledging we might have one, unlike Flonk.
You're a better man, Flonk.
Yeah. What's going on? That's actually the only question in here.
Really? So,
there's
well,
more.
Well, right now we're recording a podcast. Thanks for asking.
How are you? Just listen to the I Smell Like Burnt Toast episode. Well, actually, it was I Smell Burnt Toast. It was kind of a reference to people having a stroke. But hey, I kind of smell like burnt toast as well, so that's cool.
It's true, he does.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ, did I love that Tarantino impression. Fucking great. Can I hear it again, please? All right, Matt, you want to give them your Tarantino impression?
Yeah, sure. Listen, I know how good my fucking coffee is. You don't have to tell me. Give me a line. I'm blanking now.
Bonnie goes to the store. She buys shit. I buy the gourmet expensive stuff because when I drink it, I want to taste it.
Bonnie goes to the store. She buys shit. I buy the gourmet stuff because I want to taste it.
All right.
Not bad, eh?
No, not at all. So thanks for writing, Thwip.
Yeah.
All right. Our next letter comes from another person you heard in one of the recent clips, Mr. Fake John Drake, a.k.a. Juan. And he writes, "Dear dudes, what's the worst game you've ever played?" I assume he means video games, but I mean, if you want to broaden this to any
Monopoly
kind of
is always
board is games. Always or, yeah. I've played a lot of really horrible board games. I generally don't like board games.
The Game of Life.
I hate the Game of Life more than I hate life.
I love playing the Game of Life with house rules, though, where it's like, if you're over the bridge, you can toss your kids out.
Nice. Isn't that basically the Mad Magazine game? Isn't that sort of like Bizarro Game of Life?
Oh, fuck. That was a great game. Yeah, exactly. It was sort of like, it was sort of Life slash Monopoly.
But yeah, it was kind of a parody of the, like, they took kind of the same rules, but they fucked them up and made them funny.
That game was a lot of fun. Yeah, and they gave you a bunch of money and you had to lose it to win.
Nice.
And there was like, hey, if you can jump up in the air and hang there for 30 seconds, you win.
That's right. And I remember there's a card. If your name is Alfred E. Newman, you win. Shockingly, no one ever won. Except that one guy. But I assume he means video game because that's pretty much the kinds of games that we play. God, I don't know because I don't play that many games. Like, you're probably way more...
The worst video game I ever played, back when I was a kid and I had my first Nintendo... There used to be an independently run video game rental place by my house, and you know, I get a game a week, and that would be my game for the week.
Sure.
And one week I rented this game called Wall Street Kid, and basically what that was a very early, very graphically not good stock market simulator.
Sure.
Now I was about. Six when I rented this. And basically all it was page after page of numbers and stats and trying to figure out like it was an accurate stock market simulation game.
Now and let's be clear, now 26-year-old Matt would have no more fun with that game than 6-year-old Matt did, right?
Exactly. The only thing I enjoyed about that game was that you had to control your little guy's life.
So you like, could make him jump out of a window if his stocks didn't do well, on the actual Wall Street.
What you had to do is you have to balance a girlfriend and owning a business and all and all that stuff was fun. It's like, hey, would you like to? Hey, baby, let's go to the park or the beach. If she didn't want to go to the beach, you lost points with her or something.
So it's kind of like The Sims in that regard. Kind of like you had to balance like different aspects of your life, but the main focus was the stock market.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was. Incredibly boring.
Wow.
And, you know, because it was the only game I had for a week, I played the shit out of it.
Oh, no doubt. Did you do well, or did you often plummet out of windows?
I spent that entire week having no idea what I was doing.
Sure. Well, and
maybe I win? No.
I played my fair share of games like that, of course, being of the generation where Atari and... Actually, we had Intellivision, which was kind of the crappy Atari. Mm-hmm. It was like I don't want to say it was Sega to Nintendo because Sega had their own good games, but it was the competition, and I don't think I played one good game on that thing. But there was a fair amount of games where I had no clue what the rules were, what was expected of me, what the graphics were meant to represent. You just kind of moving some pixels around and hoping for the best. Mm-hmm. But I think the worst game I've seen, I haven't actually played it, and there's a story to this. It's a game called Stroker. Now
I have a question.
I bet the answer is yes, but go ahead and ask your question.
Is it about what I think it's about?
It sure is. I grew up in a shitty little town in Southern Maryland. We didn't have, a lot of like computer stores and stuff.
Sure.
I had a Commodore 64 like everyone did. And, I went looking for games and I walk in and there's this little shack. It's like I'm trying to think of a good size comparison for the audience. I was going to say it's the size of my bedroom, but that means nothing to them.
Like a shed?
Yeah, basically. I mean, it was a store,
but the size of it was, yeah, like a, like maybe like a large work shed at best. There was this guy in there who was 300-400 pounds easy.
Uh-huh.
Did not have an easy time getting up. Disgusting man. Like, not just, okay, some people are fat. That's fine. I got no problem with that. But he was, he didn't take care of himself. He wasn't, he didn't wash, and he was just sweaty and gross, and his hair was greasy and just repulsive, repulsive man.
Thank you for coming to my video game
store. Yes, exactly. Well, it wasn't even a video game store. It was a computer store, and he mostly wanted to sell. We lived in a Navy town, so he was trying to sell to professionals. He was trying to sell, like, whatever, you know, MS Word and Excel sure. was back then, like Lotus 1-2-3 or something. And but he knew he had to carry games as well, because there was no other game in town, and he knew he could mm-hmm. mark them up and everything. So I walk in one day, and this big fat guy who takes up about half of this tiny store.
Ugh.
Is sitting there moving the joystick back and forth in increasing velocity. And I'm 10, 11, 12.
Sure.
And he goes, oh, I probably should turn this off, but here, come over here, let me show you. And he makes it sound like he's letting me in on some little dirty little secret. And I see this very crude, pixely representation of a penis on the screen with a hand at the base of it. And he's moving the joystick, and it's you know, manually pleasuring itself. I am too young to know what this actually means yet. I'm almost there, but I'm not quite there yet. I don't know what, other than that it's a penis. I get that part, but I don't, you know, I don't know why he's doing this, and I don't know why he's showing me. And it scarred me for life. He's like, hey, look at this, huh? And it wasn't like he was trying to come on to me. He was like, hey, I'm going to be the cool adult and show you something you're not supposed to see. And I just like, oh.
And then, of course, he told you that the kids who get the best games get the I Take My Shirt Off discount.
No, thankfully, there was none of that, because who knows what who knows what evil lay in the folds of Bob. But, yeah, so that might not be the worst game I've ever played, but it's certainly the worst game I've ever seen.
Mm.
So, thanks for writing, Juan. let's see, our next question. Believe it or not, we still have some flunk questions.
Oh god, really?
Yeah, but you know, then that's it. Then we're finished. So
Alright.
He says, is Jesus a zombie? Yes.
Yes.
Alright, next question is also from Flonk. Where my hat is at? It's in the fridge behind the cold ones. Alright, yeah. Next.
Bang.
Okay. All right, audio question here. Bear with me a sec as I open this. It's from the English version of Flonk, a.k.a. English Flonk. And it goes a little something like this.
Since dubbing Irish Gav a comedy cunt, it seems like he's been a comedy cunt more often now. Is this actually likely to be the case? Is Gav being a comedy cunt more often to live up to his new appellation? Or am I noticing it more since dubbing him? A comedy cunt. I believe the latter, as a general rule, when noticing things. But I still wouldn't put it past Irish Gav being the cunt that he is. Yours cuntishly, Gav, off of England.
I'm not sure that question requires a response, and I'm not.
What was the question?
I'm not trying to.
All I heard was the word comedy cunt over and over again.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to cop out of an answer, but he was just basically asking, since dubbing Irish Gav comedy cunt. Is he being more cunty to live up to his name, or is English Gav just noticing it more because
he's labeled him as comedy right. cunt?
But really, I just think that was an excuse for him to say that 7 or 8 times, and I don't necessarily think that the question requires an answer. If you want to answer it, by all means. But
I got nothing except this. Sarcastic Voyage, we say cunt more often than any other podcast on the internet, guaranteed.
Oh, don't.
Including Cuntcast.
Don't make that guarantee, because then we're going to have a whole, like, you know, competitive thing. Like, somebody else is going to try to one-up us, and then we'll try to one-up them, and then it's just going to be cunt, cunt, cunt. And who wants to hear that?
Well, English Gav.
All right. Next question comes from Ryan Shepherd, and he says, Dear Alan Matt, if you had to replace your co-host with someone, who would you replace him with, and why? I think we've fielded this one before, and I think we've kind of established in a very not gay way that we can't.
Yeah.
Because we're not gay, but I mean, you know. But okay, hypothetically speaking.
I would go for Batman, which of course would result in a not great podcast, but I would enjoy it.
However, I think my current role as the, kind of the guy who makes the plans and draws up the ridiculous charts that you laugh at.
It was a great chart.
Sure, absolutely.
You're a champ.
Hey, you know, twice a week for 4 months, you know, can't do that without charts. But my point is, you know, you laugh at me, but imagine what kind of chart Batman would draw up. So there's that. Christ, I don't know. Maybe some other person. I got nothing. I have no clue.
I'll have to pick back Batman. I'm telling you that right.
Yeah, but
now.
Nobody else does what I tell them. You barely do what I tell you. So
it'll be on my podcast. I'm so glad you asked me to be on your podcast.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's how it would go.
Matt, why did you tell me to be on the? I was informed the Riddler would be here.
You've done this bit already.
Have I?
Almost verbatim, you've done this bit already.
Might be because I think the name the Riddler is really funny.
It's a pretty funny name, but.
I would do a podcast with the Riddler.
All right. I would do a podcast with Riddler-esque TV pitchman Matthew Lesko. And he would tell me all about how I could get any grant. All right. So thanks for writing. Our next.
I like to think that they shop at the same store.
Well, where else are you going to get a smock covered in question marks? Really?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. There are places in like the DC universe where you can buy like supervillain costumes.
Sure.
These guys just happen to shop at a store that exclusively sells suits covered in question marks.
Except Matthew Lesko's a real guy.
Not in my end. Not when I think about him.
Well, I mean, you don't probably get him on Canadian TV because
I've seen him before.
That's strange because his whole shtick is how to get government grants from the U.S. government. I imagine that would
do very well here.
Yeah. I don't think you're probably entitled to a large amount of government grants in Canada, but I could be wrong. I mean, you know, you may have your own version of Matthew Lesko.
If anyone knows, it'll be him.
True. But I would assume you have your own version of Matthew Lesko whose suit is maybe covered in, I don't know, quotation marks.
Exclamation points.
No, not exclamation points. You guys are too subtle for that.
Use.
Yeah. Or like semicolons or something, you know. Maybe an interrobang at best. I just like saying interrobang.
Interrobang. Man covered in hashtag.
Okay. Our next question comes from Ashwin, our friend in India. I can now say his name with confidence. That pleases me. Hey, Algar and Matt and guests. Well, no guests, but again, thank you for considering that there might be.
Yeah, hi.
I know the two of you are fans of Adult Swim, but which of the older Adult Swim shows is your favorite and why? I'm talking about the first wave, Space Ghost, Sea Lab, Birdman, Brack, Home Movies, etc. I've also noticed you've never talked about Metalocalypse. What do you guys think of that show? Finally, if the two of you guys and your guest had to start a death metal band, what would you call it? All right, let's take the first one first.
All right.
Old Adult Swim shows. We're actually going to do a whole theme show on these later, but for now, go ahead.
I like all of them because... You know, it's just that sort of weird humor that I'm a fan of. But
sure.
I friggin' love C-Lab. That show is so fucking weird.
I hate the Bizarros.
And I used to watch, like, C-Lab 2020 when I was a kid.
Wow.
So, yeah. Like, they used to show repeats here.
That's obscure because I think that show only ran for, like, a season or something anyway.
I'm pretty sure it did. But, like, I distinctly remember that show from when I was a kid.
Oh, and I don't doubt that. I mean, those old Hanna-Barbera shows are, you know, making the rounds everywhere forever. But... But I think, like, there weren't very many reruns. If you watched it a lot, you probably saw the same ones over and over again.
I'm sure I did, but, you know.
Yeah, how would you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All those fucking shows are the same always. I'm going to have to go with Space Ghost because...
I suspected as much.
That was my first... I came home, I was working a night job, and I came home late one night. It was, like, midnight, and I collapsed, and I'd just gotten TiVo at this point, and I was kind of... poking around, I still had it set to suggest things to me, which is an irritating feature. And if you get a TiVo, turn that off immediately.
No TiVo, no.
But it had recommended Space Ghost to me. I'm like, Space Ghost? What the hell? And I looked, and it was the episode with Bjork and the guy from Radiohead, the knifing around. I swear, this is not hyperbole. I have never laughed harder in my entire life.
Oh, fuck, that's... Perfect.
And I'm so glad that it was on TiVo because I could pause it, I could rewind, because I missed so much laughing that I had to go, just, oh my god. Just so
can
amazing.
Can I sing in Icelandic now? sure, honey, whatever. I gotta go to the
Space War.
Space War.
So he also has Metalocalypse. I love that show.
I haven't seen any Metalocalypse.
We got to fix that because it's a great show. I think you would really enjoy it. It's very much in the same vein as the old Adult Swim type shows. It's very silly, but then they also kind of have a running story in it too. It's a nice blend of that kind of thing.
I like Brendan Small. Like, I was a big Home Movies fan, so I mean, I like Brendan Small.
I was not. Everyone goes on about that show, and the squiggles hurt my eyes, and I just didn't really get the humor. But I know a lot of people like it, so good on them. Finally, if you two guys had to start a death metal band, what would you call it? You're the band name guy. You know this one.
The thing is, like, I make up band names all the time.
And now that you're on the spot, you just...
That's the thing. Like, it's impossible to make up a good one now. If you're naming your band, you really can't just decide on a name. You sort of have to let it happen.
Okay, let's use this as an excuse then. You and Amanda and other previous guests of ours, Sabrina and Irene, have played Rock Band.
Mm.
You have a band set up in that game, correct?
Mm,
what do you guys call that band?
Name of that band is the Dukes of Tordovia.
Is there a story worth telling behind that?
There is a story behind that. It is not worth telling at all.
Okay. You will notice I phrased that question very specifically.
The Dukes played at PAX this previous summer. And everyone, the girl in charge is coming around asking everyone what their name is. Mm-hmm. And then she comes up to us. And we all enthusiastically and at the same time go, "The Dukes of Tordovia." And we got a look that I will remember for the rest of my life. She went, "Okay."
What was it? Was it a look of indifference or disgust or
just sort of a confused shock slash?
Well, is there a place called Tordovia or
no? Not at all.
Okay, so you didn't like
Tordovia is a country we made up, which does not have any dukes.
All right. Well, if you made it up, you could make it have whatever you want.
No, I'm sorry.
All right.
Tordovia does not have any dukes.
Hey, it's your country, your made up country, man. I really don't care.
We really should have discussed this with Irene.
That's fine, and when we get her back on, I'll try to remember, but I probably won't. there you go. Dukes of Tordovia. I don't know that I'd muscle in on somebody else's inside joke, but I know that's your pre-made band name, so...
Yeah, you do not get much more inside joke than that.
Well, hey, you know, that's why we have a two-guy podcast, so we can make a bunch of inside jokes all the time. all right, our next question comes from... his name is Duh, apparently. That's what it says. Okay, from Duh. All right. Team Jacob or Team Edward? I guess that's a Twilight reference. I have no idea.
Yeah, I think that's a Twilight reference.
Wife is dragging me to a double feature for Twilight Series 1 and 2, trying to spread my misery. As I indicated before, I have no opinion of Twilight, so I'm not really miserable. And I think Matt is not familiar enough with it to really...
No, it's kind of hard to make fun of when I don't know anything about it. Right. About it.
Except that you know you hate it for some reason.
Well, yes.
And he asks... If you have to turn off your brain and watch a movie, is it a good movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I know you...
Not always, but...
But I know, I think I know what he's asking. He's asking when you watch, you know, when you watch a movie that you don't want to think about, when you watch kind of your typical, I just want to watch stuff blow up, or I want to, you know, something like that. Does that mean it's a good movie because you're not really thinking about it?
I would say, yeah, not all movies like that are good movies, but there are some that, you can just turn your brain off and go, I like blowing stuff up.
See, for me, I can't watch a movie, like, I can watch dumb movies, certainly, but I still have to respect that movie. And so, and plus, I don't know how to answer good. It's good if it entertains me. That's really the only criteria I need. So, like, I understand what you're asking, and I appreciate that it's a decent question. I just, because the way I look at things is not if it's objectively good or not. If it entertains me, then that makes it a good movie.
Yeah, I have enjoyed movies that were dumb.
Yeah, sure,
but not always.
But I mean, I would argue something like Airplane is kind of dumb.
Yeah,
but it's also brilliant.
Well, yes.
So,
but I mean, I wouldn't say you have to turn your brain off to watch Airplane.
Well, okay, that's true. And he actually asked another question. He says, "Which overexposed trope are we most sick of? Steampunk, zombies, vampires, post-apocalyptic worlds, alternate timelines."
Run those by me again.
Steampunk, zombies, vampires,
post-apocalyptic
worlds,
alternate
timelines.
Okay, I love all that stuff.
All right, I'm getting sick of zombies.
Yeah, zombies are getting a little overplayed. I would be fine with not seeing them for a while.
I think there are certainly good zombie stories to be told, but I think you know, if I had to pick one, I'm probably most sick of that. I never cared for vampires at all. I've seen things that have vampires in them that I like, but overall, not interested.
I will enjoy vampire stuff. I will also not enjoy it, as I have gone on to at length.
Sure. And post-apocalyptic worlds, yeah, I definitely think that's a cliche. And unless you do something really cool with it, I'm kind of sick of that one.
All right.
But that's me personally. I know a lot of people don't feel that way, but it just, there's a certain kind of cliched, like, oh, we're doing Terminator again. Really? Huh? All right. And it's just like, if you're going to do it, do something new and different with it. You know what I mean?
I really like the, like the Fallout games, which are post-apocalypse, but like post-apocalypse, if the world ended in the future of the 1950s.
Exactly. See, that's what I mean. Like that's a unique take on that.
That's awesome.
And so you get that kind of that crazy 50s, that, you know, visual, you know, look, but you also get, you know, the advantages of the post-apocalypse. So yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, as long as you've got sort of something, you know, more than just post-apocalypse. Because, I mean, we've all seen Mad Max.
Right. Well, I haven't, but I have no interest in it.
We've all seen The Road Warrior.
No, I haven't.
Really?
Yeah, no interest.
You should, whatever.
Yeah.
I was going to say you should watch it, but, you know, you're not missing that much.
No. Plus, I feel like we've been pretty good about not being the guys who yell at people for not watching things. And I'd like to keep that going, because I hate those people. Oh, yeah. You haven't seen this? You're a dick. What? You were just my friend, and now I haven't seen a movie, and you're not my friend anymore? What the hell? Let's see. He says steampunk. I don't think steampunk's overexposed at all. Like,
I love steampunk. Steampunk's starting to get more and more popular.
Yeah, but in certain subcultures. But really, has there been like a big blockbuster? Like, there was Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
Which looked good. Like, it had a cool, but, you know, still
sucked.
That was
the best part of Wild Wild West.
That was the only good part of Wild Wild West.
Exactly.
But I really can't think of another big movie that's done.
I'm pretty sure if one had come out, I would have seen it.
Right. I do know that the future second Mrs. Algar is considering for the wedding various steampunk motifs for her costume.
And I will
uniform.
Seeing that.
I don't know what it's more than a dress.
Uniform?
Costume? I don't know. But she's considering a steampunk angle, and I'm all for that. I don't think of it as overexposed at all. Nor do I think alternate timelines are particularly overexposed.
Alternate timelines are fucking awesome.
Yes, and I think they always will be, because you have an infinite number of variables to play with, and you can always keep them fresh and interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as it's not an alternate timeline where the Germans won or the South won the Civil War, which are played. But everything else,
unless you make them steampunk alternate.
Well, right then, then you know, then, you start mixing them with zombies and vampires.
Yeah, exactly. If you can give me alternate timeline World War II with steampunk zombies, I will watch that.
You will watch the shit out of it. You just stopped yourself saying that, didn't you?
No.
No.
Oh, right. I just wasn't going to say it. No.
Weird.
But I would watch the shit out of it.
Of course you would. All right, our next question is not coming up because the website is being stupid. Stall the people, Matt. Thank you. That's enough. Thank you. Next question comes from Brandon Nelson. I'm not sure I know who that is, so if that's somebody I don't actually know in real life, thank you for listening. It's cool to see mail coming from people. Of course, if it is somebody I know, I feel like a dick, but I don't know a lot of real names, so I'm just going to hide behind that.
As long as you have no follow-up questions, I know exactly who you are.
recently to me, you talked about the idea of having noted joke thief Will Wheaton on the show. If you did, and you settled the joke thief bit, or if he just upped and apologized, would he then be referred to as apologetic joke thief Will Wheaton? And if so, you have my permission to use said title. Yours, Brandon. P.S. Hail Stan.
Okay.
Well, Brandon, thanks for
the
writing.
The guy from Monkey Island?
Sure. Yeah. All right. I picture us comedically hashing that out for 5 minutes and then calling him sir. Because for all my ridiculous posturing, the fact is the man has made a better career out of being a funny nerd than I ever have. And
he's been in way more Star Trek than we have.
Well, I was going to try to give him credit for things other than playing Wesley Crusher. But
but he's also dumb.
And he's done things other than play Wesley Crusher.
That's what I mean. There's enough now to give him credit. I mean, as an internet phenomenon, I give him credit for doing things, you know, better than I could. So,
but I mean, like, as annoying as he may have been, he has been on the bridge of an Enterprise. I cannot say the same.
Well, I have, but I was drunk, and now they took it down. So there's that. So yeah, I would call him whatever he wanted me to call him. Like, yeah. I think it's a great joke. I also am kind of getting sick of that joke. I'm sure everyone else arrived here much more quickly than I did, but I'm starting to tire of that joke now. So
especially when we can move on to noted joke thief Brian Bendis.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have the bitter about joke thieves spotlight now.
Exactly.
Next question is from Flonk. You know what? No, I'm not going to answer that one.
Is it at least a good question?
It is, actually, and that's why I'm not going to answer it, because it's going to be confusing to the listeners, but we are recording this before we finished the Flonk Stravaganza.
Oh, well, yeah.
And whereas they've actually heard them all already, and I'm just going to answer it there. So rest assured, the question will be asked. It has been asked already, but we're not going to do it here. So all right. Moving on. Moving, as we say, right along.
But loose and fancy free.
I not so much Footloose, actually. It's another Flonk question. It's like we're rolling dice. Oh, snake eyes. God damn it. Now that it's 2010, well, it isn't yet. Even when this airs, it won't quite be yet. But
far off future.
Can we please stop referring to this millennium as 2000 and start calling it 20 like we're supposed to?
Sure.
No.
There you have it, Flonk. Thanks for writing.
Next question comes from him again.
Of course
it does. Why is it when Nick T sends you an audio question, I feel like I'm listening to a nature documentary from the 70s? Are you watching a nature?
All of those documentaries were narrated by Michael Caine.
Another one from Flonk. He says, "Say the four of us were hanging out one day." No, this is the one I just skipped. What the hell, man? This is all going wrong. God
we
damn.
We cut all this, right?
Oh, I see what happened. No, he sent us the same question twice. Yeah, oh. You know,
Flonk.
I admit I'm not completely on my game here, and I'm, whatever, but no, he sent us the same question twice, and that's crap. I was about to ban him, but I don't know.
It would be wrong.
But I really want to. Come on, it's Christmas, can't I?
But for little Algar, there would be no banning.
Oh, all right. Then I suppose we'll go on to the next question, and it is from our friend Pete.
All right.
Actually, there's a picture that goes along with this, and I believe you've seen this picture already.
Ah.
Of the mask, of the ski mask.
Ah!
And what he says, and there will be a picture in the show notes. It's a ski mask shaped like Pikachu. It appears to be knitted. There are little ears and everything. And he says, Dear Al Madden featured guest, was it like this, your friend Pete? And I have to note that the attachment is labeled mattsterror.jpg. Well done, Pete.
What I really enjoyed was did that showed up on Kotaku, I think, like, on Friday.
Okay.
It might have been over the weekend. The amount of people
who have sent that to you?
Yeah, who have sent that to me?
Yes.
Is ridiculous.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of berated someone yesterday. It might have been Adrian, and Adrian, I apologize, but he's like, hey, Matt, have you seen this yet? I'm like, yes, that was great when four other people showed us that, and I just realized I was kind of a dick, so.
You douche. At least Adrian.
No.
Well, leave him alone for this.
All right, fine. Our next question is from Fourth Man, and it's actually fairly serious. Matt and Al, how do you get past your fear of starting? This assumes that fear even occurred to you before you began this glorious endeavor of a podcast. Bonus points if you can tie your answer into a sentimental metaphor regarding the impending new year. And he signs it, Pashol Nakwi. I don't know what that means. I hope I got that right. Fourth Man. I don't know. I wouldn't say
fear of starting this.
Apparently, yeah. I think what he's saying, like, as far as the creative process goes, like, how do you overcome that you know, that fear that some people have that you know, I'm not going to be any good or whatever. Clearly, that never occurred to us because here we are.
We just
But
you know, getting this started was, you know, I had no problem with this. We just sort of...
We tossed the idea around for a while before we did it. I mentioned to you in passing several times. Of course, I mentioned a lot of ideas we've never done.
Mm-hmm.
But I mentioned that, you know, hey, you want to do a podcast? And you're like, yes, absolutely. And so...
Well, you know, I'm a huge podcast fan, and like it's been something I've been thinking about doing with you for a long time.
Yeah, and we've mentioned this before. I saw that Natty P, Nat Purcell, had designs on starting one, and
if there's one thing we know, it's spite.
Yes, if there's one thing that will motivate me, it's showing up someone else, and so that's why here you're now listening to Podcast 36, and I don't think Nat's has gone off the ground yet. So take that. But no, really, there was no fear. I mean, I approach this like I approach anything. It was just jump in and figure out where we're going once we're in. I mean, you know, sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
Now, with, you know, everything else that I do, then there's definitely the fear starting, and then you just sort of have to push through it to do it, because, you know, otherwise it doesn't get done.
Right. Next question is also from Duh, and he writes, are we still alive in 2013? I know this question won't be aired until after D-Day. I'm hoping to hear it on your show. I mean, really hoping to hear it because I won't be dead. I don't really understand what that means. Is this a 2012 thing again?
I sort of don't think that the Mayans knew the world was going to end in 2012.
Well, did the Mayans not? Am I correct in remembering the Mayans didn't even have the wheel?
Yeah. Didn't they?
There were several of those pyramid-building ancient cultures. I know the Egyptians. I know at least one of the South American cultures. Maybe it was the Aztecs.
Well, but the Egyptians had space technology.
Well, of course they did. That's where Hawkman comes from.
Exactly.
Space Egypt. But no, I know there were several of those like sort of advanced like cultures that had math and they had calendars and they had pyramids and stuff that didn't have the wheel. And I'm pretty sure the Mayans were one of them. I could be wrong about that.
For some reason, I think the Mayans did have the wheel.
You may be correct, but
I don't know. Nevertheless, anyone out there who knows anything about Mayans and would like to tell us whether they had the wheel or not, please write in.
If there are any Mayans out there, we'll bring you on for the full hour. I'll commit to that right now. As far as I mean, my point is, they couldn't, you know, and I apologize for being a little culturally insensitive, but really. If they couldn't fight off, you know, a handful of Spaniards on horses, I doubt they could predict the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I feel about it. I mean, they're, you know, if they were that advanced and that smart, they should have been able to see the end of their own culture coming. So, you know.
I would like to see in 2012 whatever the hell happens at the end of The Invisibles happening, though.
All right. I don't have any idea what you're talking about, nor do I need to. So,
fair enough.
Let's move on. Our next question comes from Jesse Nana. And all right. She writes, Dear Matt and Al, what is your favorite Indian dish? Mine's a tie between chicken tikka masala and Shahi Paneer Korma. I hope I got that right. Your obedient servant. Ooh, I've been waiting for one of those. I need an obedient servant. Can you come help me with like show notes and guest scheduling and stuff?
You have no idea what you just got yourself into.
Yeah, I need some interns. I need something to help this machine run more smoothly. If you're my obedient servant, help me with the show notes for show 40, let's say.
Please send your resume to podcast.
God, don't send me resumes, for the love of Christ. I don't actually like Indian food.
There's a lot of Indian food I don't like, but I am a big samosa fan. Those things are delicious.
Indian food is one of those things, and I bet there's people screaming at me now that I'm a racist, and there's people screaming at me now that you haven't tried the right thing or whatever. You know, when I saw that bright pink sauce, I'm just like, you know...
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't look like
the neon green rice.
Yeah, it just doesn't look like food to me.
Yeah.
So,
but no, samosas are really good.
Okay. What is that?
It's like a pockety thing with like potato and spices in it.
Oh. Well, that's not even that interesting.
No, it's not, but it is delicious.
All right. Next question comes from Duh again. And he writes, if you were forced to bring back a piece of outdated tech to replace current tech, what would it be? i.e. 80s cell phones, black and white TVs, or even the Pony Express. Now, this guy's been writing us a lot, but these are pretty good questions. So, you know, keep them coming, duh.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good one, and I'm going to have to think about that one for a minute. You,
I want to see the return of the Zeppelin.
I don't know that Zeppelins are outdated exactly.
Well, then I want to see them used instead of airplanes.
All right. I don't think Zeppelins ever really caught on in the first place. Like they.
That's my point. I want them to caught on.
You want them to caught on?
I want them to caught on.
You're listening to Gramtastic Voyage. I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed that you can't send a telegram anymore. I mean, as we covered in a previous installment, Mark Bosco, a.k.a. Bob, sent me a telegram once. And Western Union, not too long afterwards, shut down their telegram service. And
what's worse than that is that now you can't get singing telegrams.
Right. And I just think it's a crime that you can't hear a knock at your door and someone going, telegram! Because, I mean, what about those bellhop guys with the little hats? I mean, what are they going to do now?
Of course, now that the telegram... Now that the telegram is gone, a lot less people are being eaten by land sharks.
but not no people, just fewer no. people. There's still giant walking shark man from Green Lantern.
My dolphin man.
You're that land shark, aren't you?
No.
All right, our next question is another audio question. Oh boy, it comes from one of your favorite people. Well, I say people. Let's have a listen, won't we?
Let's listen together.
Tillamat, how are you? I am well. Porkers and I received a postcard from Stupid Hans this morning. He's on holiday in Iceland, but meant to go to Ireland. Isn't that stupid? Yeah, I thought so too. I'm so glad we agree. Oh, and yes, Porkers says hi. In any case, I was on the toilet this morning and thinking about Batman. Do you do this too? I like to think so. Anyway, my question is thusly. What is your favorite thing about Batman? Mine is, when he used his power ring that time. Yeah, that was good. Oh, I guess the others can answer this too. Yours as ever, M. Smlown.
I think Mr. Smlown is really trying to endear himself to you, Matt. Not necessarily doing the best job, but I think he really wants you to like him. So, what say you? What's your favorite thing about Batman? He wants to know.
Give me a minute.
We should note that, as we revealed on this show, actually, Matt blew this revelation on his Facebook.
I did.
That you're dating Angel, which is fine. I mean, hey, you know, I'm not gonna, like, I was excited for the show that we had a little secret, and I say we, by we I mean the show, not me. I have nothing to do with it. But we, as the show, had something cool to tell you guys, and it's Matt and Angel's thing to say, and you know, it's not like I was upset because they still got people, you know, people know and they're happy and whatever. And I say people are happy; most people are happy. That little guy you just heard there was not very happy.
Now that
his comment on your Facebook was something to the effect of, you know, what with 1,000 exclamation points and question marks. And of course,
got a Blip account.
Yeah, yesterday he got an account on blip.fm where you, you know, you share with the internet what you're playing, what music you're playing. And it was a steady stream of, what was it? Like All by Myself and Tears of a Clown.
Tears of a Clown.
Tears of a Clown was the one that really got me. But
oh, shit.
There was a whole bunch of them that clearly reflected he was displeased and lonely and sad. And
I now fear for Angel's safety. And the safety of my rectum.
Especially since we've established that that she will be acting as Smlown Buffer at our wedding. That she'll be sitting right next to him. And again, he's a good 3 feet tall, so I mean, you know. That's a real danger. But to the point. He wants to know what your favorite thing about Batman is.
Batman. God, you know, I have no idea.
Well, you like Batman. We've established that.
Clearly,
very,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes. I've been watching Batman in some form or another since I was three.
Sure.
Like I grew up watching the '60s show over and over and over again, uh-huh. And it just sort of never went away. It's like, it's almost like the character sort of developed along with me, so I never really lost interest.
Okay.
So I mean, you know, when I was a little kid, there was '60s Batman, which was about as close to a three-year-old's favorite show as you can get. You
know? I mean, yeah, I mean, right. and that show was already old when you were a kid. Like, I watched it also when I was little, and it was old then too. I mean, it's definitely a great show for kids.
Mm, and I distinctly remember when I was three, when the fight scenes would start, I would yell for my mom to come in and read the bubbles.
What's that one say? Pow! Oh, thanks.
No, it's like, mom, get in here. What? They're fighting. I need you to read the things. How? Zorch. If
nice,
get a safe. you know, and I got a little older, and Batman the Animated Series came out.
Sure.
And, you know, that was awesome. And
well, then, let's not get too carried away on Batman. We're also going to do an entire show on Batman. So don't waste your A material here.
My favorite part of Batman was that time he had the power ring.
Which time was that?
He had it in twice in Green Lantern. Like, first he had, Green Lantern gave him the Green Lantern ring for a couple minutes. And then he got a Yellow Lantern ring later on.
Really? Yellow
Lantern? I can go into more about this if you want. But
No, I really don't. I'm just trying to picture that, because the only people I've seen with remember, I only read this stuff back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. There was Sinestro, and then for a brief time there was Guy Gardner, and I just can't picture Batman. Yellow doesn't work with his costume is what I'm thinking more than anything.
The thing is, like, you know, with the Green Lantern stuff that's going on lately, all the, like, there's all the different colored rings, and they all go to a different sort of emotion, right?
Except not all of them are really emotions. There's a ring for hunger or something.
Well, Will is not, you know, any kind of emotion.
Right.
But, what do you call it? So all these, like, yellow rings, which are for fear, are going out all over the universe. Mm-hmm. And Batman gets one. The ring goes, Batman of Earth, you can give great fear or whatever. So you get a Yellow Lantern ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like a...
Oh, I thought there was something more to that.
Really. He just sort of fights off. It was just a really cool moment.
Oh, okay. I'm just thinking of it as from a design standpoint, where a yellow, like, yellow's a bad color for him, you know.
Yeah, well, he the design didn't look very good.
Yeah, well. All right, so that's your answer, and for some reason you seem to want to make Sloan happy, and you know.
Really?
God bless you. Well, you keep giving him answers that, I mean, that kind of encourages him. You just agreed with him.
Well, look, I don't want to get on his bad side, for one thing.
Also, I didn't ignore this. I was just, I'm trying to process. You said you fear for your rectum. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get too graphic about your rectum, but what do you think he's got down there?
You know, there's really no good answer to this question.
No, and I'm asking this hypothetically. Like, what do you believe he's got down there?
At best, nothing. At worst, a small woolen phallus.
A stupid penis? And it's not that I'm trying to picture it. It's nothing that graphic. I'm just trying to wrap my head around the logic of it. Does he really? Do you imagine that he's got one?
I can honestly say I haven't put that much thought into it.
Okay. Well, maybe you should.
For the sake of my sanity.
All right. That fair enough. We won't dwell on the topic then. Our next question.
Some things man was not meant to know.
Ineffable horror. Next question comes from our friend Bob, Mark Bosco, and he asks...
Hair from beyond Sloan's pants.
Stupid pants. Bob, Mark Bosco writes, gentlemen, would you rather have nipples that shoot laser beams or a belly button that dispenses your favorite condiment at will? You have our gratitude. That's nipples. I was thinking, ooh, belly button.
Oh, man, I don't want to eat anything that came out of my belly button.
Well, I suppose that's true. I think he's just dipping into the would you rather, which is fine. We've established before.
Yeah, we'll happily take
those. I like those kinds of questions, and I like forcing us to choose either or and having to discuss why. Mm-hmm. And you make a good point. Like, I was thinking, yeah, well, I'll always have food, but yeah, you're right.
Well, that you'll is always kinda... have condiments.
Right. Well, that's true, too. But my favorite condiment is, like, ham. So, you know.
Oh, God. The idea of you squeezing ham out of your belly button has to be the most disgusting image I've thought of since Sloan's tiny woolen phallus.
Well, now we're going to have to up the ante with whatever the next question is. Yeah, I guess we're both agreed then. Nipple laser beams.
Nipple lasers is probably the way to go.
Assuming that I can control them, because if I have to do like a Cyclops
you're
thing.
Constantly shooting.
Well, it'd have to be like a Cyclops thing. You'd always have to wear like nipple covers to make sure. You know.
A ruby quartz bra.
Right. And, you know, really, I'm 35. I've put on some weight. But I really did not want to turn the bra cover yet. You know, the bra corner yet.
It's a man's ear.
It's the bro. Yeah, I'm really not ready to turn that corner yet. So maybe I would go with condiment belly button after all, even if I wouldn't use it.
Yeah.
At least I wouldn't have, you know, at least I don't have blood gushing out of my nose.
Well, yes.
So next question comes from Scott Zioko. And as long as all it's right. not donut related, we're more than happy to answer it. Mm-hmm. Dear podcast gang, on the Blandycast, you read a gag email I sent about being an exile. Needless to say, it received a mixed reaction. Would it be okay if I just let that die and go back to my normal annoying self?
Thanks for doing the show. It provides much-needed laughs at work. Well, you're welcome, and that's fine as long as that doesn't include that thing I just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to be annoying, if you would like to irritate us, that's fine. Just my problem has never been with the irritation, obviously.
No, find new and interesting ways to irritate us. Don't yes. irritate us with the same thing.
That's
over
it.
And over.
I just don't. I'm out of. I mean, I'm going to pull back the curtain here for a sec. I'm out of funny ways to react to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's not actually that it bothers me. It's just as an I say entertainer in some jest, but really as a. You know, as someone who's trying to make people laugh here, I don't have any. You've cornered me. When you say donuts again, I just no. There's no donuts. Like I'm out of material. Like mm-hmm. so make a make a concerted effort, Scott. If you want to irritate us, that's fine. But come up with new ways. Keep
mm-hmm.
keep changing up your approach. Like you're a Borg. Pretend you're an irritating Borg, and keep changing your shield notations and your harmonics and. Yeah, resolve in 2010 to be a comedic, irritating Borg. Our next question also comes from Jessie Nana, and she writes, "Dear Al, Matt, and guest, pleased find attached. I am pleased, okay. Thank you. A screenshot from Nora Jones' new music video, Chasing Pirates. As you can see, there's a multi-story building outfitted with rigging and sails sailing through a metropolitan area. This is clearly an outright ripoff of Python, and I, for one, am outraged.
Mm-hmm.
To add insult to injury, she's not even wearing an eye patch or a tricorn hat in the video. Nora Jones is okay, and I'm emphatically pro-pirate, but this aggression will not stand, man. I propose that we gather a pirate crew in Tortuga and sail out to send this abomination to Davy Jones' locker. What say ye? Arg." And she's sent a picture, and she's right. This does look quite a lot like the Crimson Permanent Assurance. Go ahead.
Who is this?
Jessie Nana.
No, I mean, who is the... Well, the woman in the video.
Nora Jones. I have no idea.
You got me.
But, you know, we've established neither of us really has, like, a working knowledge of current music. So
no, I mean, I'm all for pirating, you know, on a regular basis.
I'm kind of... Pirates kind of go in that other list for me. That list of, like,
yeah.
Okay, enough's enough. Like
stuff you're, like, sick of?
Again, if you come up with an interesting way to do it, like, I'd still be there. Like, Monkey Island, of course. And I don't just say that because of famous you-know-who. I say that because I've liked Monkey Island forever. But, and I hear those Johnny Depp movies are good. I have no interest in those. But, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's different ways. Like, Space Pirates can be interesting.
Yes. Steampunk Pirates.
Sure.
Vampires.
And then you go, yeah. I'm sure you know this. There was a comic with the Vampire Pirates, or Vampirates, as you would call them.
Oh, fuck. When that came out, that's called Vampirates. I'm like, man, I wish I'd thought that.
No, I'm thinking of another one, then. There must have been another
one. Oh, well, there is one called Vampirates.
This was like Blood Sea or Red Sea or Blood...
Oh, Sea of Red.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. And the art in that was great. I just didn't care for the writing, but...
Now, there was also a comic called Vampirates.
Yeah, I believe it. Because people do that thing, that mix and match, like,
mm-hmm.
they take two things and they just throw them together.
That thing came out and I saw it on the shelf and I'm just like, never again. Never again will someone beat me to a portmanteau.
And the podcast was born. But now we can do, like, you know, Vampirates versus King Arthur. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Versus public domain something else.
Well, I still think my pitch for Frankenstein versus Robin Hood cannot be ignored. But that's a joke that I think only you'll get, but that's okay. Maybe Flonk will get what I'm getting at there, too. As far as the video goes, no. Actually, I was talking to Mark Bosco about this the other day, Bob, about music videos that take a movie and sort of make the video about the movie. There's a Faith No More video that redoes Hitchcock's Vertigo. It's the video for a song called Last Cup of Sorrow, which it doesn't matter what the song is. They basically restaged Vertigo in 3 minutes to their song. I thought it was kind of cool. It was a nice little, you know, homage to a classic movie. And so I would prefer to think of this video as a, you know, as like a tribute. Right. Mm-hmm. Bob had also mentioned to me a song. I think it was Talking Heads did a video set to a restaging of American Psycho.
Oh, nice.
Which, you know, again, like a 3 minute. Radio friendly song, you know, with a video that kind of retells a movie that they like. So I think it's a well established you know, precedent, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I wouldn't call it a ripoff. And you know, I wish I had something funnier to say, but yeah,
that's for me. I just don't watch. I haven't watched him. Last music video I saw was for Weird Al CNR.
Yeah, that was a good video, actually.
It was.
I enjoyed
but
that.
I mean, it's not like I don't watch music videos because I don't like. I haven't liked new music in years.
Right. Exactly. I think we may be out of questions. Looking at these, the rest of these are Star Trek related, which by the time people hear this, we will have answered.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's about it. Like we've said, this is the last show of the year. Matt, we've offered this to everyone else. Might as well, you know, extend it to you as well. Anything you want to say?
Listen, guys, thanks for listening to this. You know,
yeah.
Twice every week.
Twice a week.
Like when we started this, we had no idea this would happen at all. Secretly, I suspected that, you know, people would listen for 2 weeks and then it would go the way of our last great endeavor, which was we would do it for 3 years while no one listened.
Right.
Instead, a ton of people are listening to it, which is awesome. If you haven't written in before, please do. We'd love to hear from you. Like, you know, hearing from people we don't know personally is.
Yeah, that's been a very recent thing for us too, is reading a few of these letters from people I don't know, like one or two people I've run into on Twitter, I think, and I think Jesse Nana have talked to me on Twitter, but a couple people on here, I'm like, who's this? This is just somebody listens to our show. I actually received an email a few weeks ago, and I forwarded these to you, from someone who just found us on iTunes.
Yeah.
And listened, I think he liked the title of the show or something. And just gave us a listen as a goof. And it turned out he worked in comics. And he latched on to one of the comics discussions we had. And he's like, you know, you guys are good. And he wrote to me. Like, he took a minute to say, I listen to your show. I like your show. And it's like, fuck, man. That's one of the best things.
Yeah.
Like, I get that occasionally in my Transformers reviews. But I've never gotten it as consistently with that as I do as now. And I say, I say these things are addressed to both of us.
Yes.
I tend to receive them because I kind of make myself a little more available because, you know, Matt has a real job and I can sit and goof on Twitter at my job all day. But no, I did actually, that does remind me, I wanted to mention this guy because I talked to him and he ended up being a really cool guy and he's got something to plug. And I told him I would share with the listeners what he did because I actually thought it was a cool thing. Not just because he likes us, but because I thought it was a cool thing. He does greeting cards. They're sort of off-kilter, kind of, I don't want to say tasteless, but kind of not nice greeting cards.
That's awesome.
The one that sticks in my mind was a picture of a little gay guy hanging his head, saying something to the effect of, well, keep your hopes up, maybe he's bi or something like that. And it's kind of like shame cards. the guy's website is melancholygreetings.com. And again, it was nice to hear from the guy and nice, you know, to see that he just kind of stumbled upon us. And a lot of that's been happening. And as Matt says, yeah, absolutely. We started this thing. I figured our friends would listen. Maybe their friends would listen. But I figured it would trail off. And instead, it's going up.
Mm-hmm.
And since mid-October, I've had visibility of numbers. And they increase. They're consistently increasing. I don't know where you people are coming from. And I don't want you to go away. And I'm glad you're here. It's just, yeah, it's strange. And then, of course, I got the comment from Dave, our voice guy, the other day that he was listening to one of the shows and it occurred to him how we sound almost professional. And, you know, I'd like if that almost went away, but I was just like, really? Wow, that's that, you know, because, I mean, he listens to these all the time. He wants to hear how he sounded and all that. And he wants to make sure I'm, you know, when he records his voice stuff that I'm not fucking it up when I edit it. And he's like, no, man, it occurred to me that a lot of the stuff I listen to doesn't sound as good as you guys do. And, you know, that was really nice. So, yeah, again, all you guys on Twitter that follow us, thank you.
Please keep doing it.
Yeah. I know I talk a lot, but I'm just excited. What can I say? but, yeah, really, thanks.
Excited?
all you people that appeared over these last four clip shows, thank you. I cannot believe when we started doing that, it just kind of was like a goof. Like, hey,
it's just like, well, we'll do one episode and, you know, we'll get as many people as we can.
No, it wasn't. It never even started out as let's get as many people as we can. What it was is we had some people that weren't necessarily comfortable doing a full hour. I'm like, okay, let's do something where we give you 10 minutes.
Mm.
And then
It just snowballed.
Like, I'm talking to Alan, he says, you know, we've got like 40 different people on here. And I'm like, what?
No, we ended up with 40 different segments, but because some of those were multiple people, we ended up with more than 50. More than 50 interesting people that we talked to.
Holy shit.
And that's not even all the people I wanted. Like, some people couldn't make it. Some people I just haven't approached yet. Like, it's just unreal. And everyone's all excited. Everyone wants to hear themselves. And everyone's, like, encouraging us. And this is new for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're starting to babble. I apologize. But thank you. We're doing some great stuff next year, I promise.
Yeah.
We got stuff. We got some great guests, some great topics.
We can provide proof that Al has been working very hard.
Oh no, I'm not showing them
this thing prepared.
I'm not showing them the chart. That's,
oh fuck no.
That would be telling. but yeah, we got some great stuff coming up. Every now and then it occurs to me, it feels like we've been doing this forever because we've hit this groove and we got this audience. We've been doing this 4 months.
Yeah.
And we got 36 shows out of here, and we've talked to over 50 people, and it's just unreal. So
yeah,
but enough of that. Thank you. Yeah. We're gonna try to keep being funny and all that. So so there's that. We're gonna take a week off at Christmas because
damn it, we deserve it.
Yeah, we're not machines. But we will be back. Well, by the way, that reminds me. You call yourself Robot Matt. I'm going to stop following you if you don't change that to Android Matt, because I cannot stand for that. That is just unacceptable to me.
Dude, the robots come from my last name.
Oh.
Robotham. I just cut the W and the ham off.
I just got that. All right, audience. Thank you. We will now leave you with Matt's glorious cackling, and we'll talk to you again next year. We're going to stop talking now.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website again is Algar, Algar. .com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, at RobotMatt and at Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2009.
That was pretty cool.